The Rise of the Ogre. Episode 1, read by Joss Ackland. Are you sitting comfortably? Prelude. Murdoch Alphonse Nichols stood shaking at the side of the stage. As the line before him grew ever shorter, he knew that the inevitable moment of reckoning was rapidly approaching. He would have done anything to escape this humiliation. However, the only thing he feared more was the wrath of his sadistic father, stood yards behind him, ensuring that the child completed the agreed performance. Money had changed hands, and the deal had to be honored. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a warm-hearted welcome to little Murdoch Nichols as the small wooden boy Pinocchio singing, "I've Got No Strings." A muted round of applause rippled around the pub. There was a moment's silence. Murdoch stood rooted to the spot, resplendent in lederhosen, strap-on nose, and feathered alpine hat, his knees knocking together like a couple of castanets. As the delay continued, the audience started shifting in their seats. A booming voice from the back of the hall broke out, "Go on, get over it, my beer's getting cold." His father's thick leathery boot connected hard with Murdoch's backside, hurtling the young child onto the stage. "Start singing, you little sod, or I'll smash your teeth in." The bright blinding light shone straight into his eyes as the smell of warm beer, stale cigarettes, and cheap aftershave wafted across the pub. The music started up, and as Murdoch looked to the side, his eyes imploring to be spared this dignity-stripping ritual, his father growled his decision nice and clearly. The local Are You a Star talent contest was the bane of Murdoch's life. Each month, the local pub would hold this type of demeaning event. Talentless clods would enter, impersonating the big names of the day, gurning their way through soul-sapping performance after mindless performance. The prize? £2.50, and the chance to humiliate yourself further in the biannual county finals. If you were really good, you could then go on to make a cock of yourself on national TV. Murdoch's dad had often threatened to enter his son into this cattle show purely as another vague opportunity to make some fast dough, and had this month backed his claim.
"Everything about this made me sick,"
remembers Murdoch.
"How these stinky old giffers were sitting in a knackered-out pub accepting this crap as entertainment, watching talentless people pointlessly impersonating other talentless celebrity stars. Watching my bullying bastard father trying to work this game for cash. None of it worked. And listen, if you don't watch it, that's your future right there."
Murdoch swore from this moment on never again would he take to the stage under someone else's direction. He would wreak his revenge on this world of buffoons. You could say that was the day that Gorillaz was really born, he says now, from that seed of rejection, a rejection of all that kind of rubbish. Murdoch pauses for a moment, reflecting on the long-forgotten memory. He then looks up and says,
"Actually, I'm gobsmacked you've chosen to open your stupid book with this story."
Murdoch Nichols, spawn of Stoke. Murdoch Nichols was born in the stinking borough of Stoke-on-Trent on June the 6th, 1966. The exact whereabouts have never been verified, but it was rumoured that Murdoch's mother gave birth to him while still in residence at the Belphegor Sanatorium, a halfway house for the sick, the needy, and the incredibly bored. Whatever the truth behind this is, the infant Murdoch was found abandoned upon the doorstep of his nefarious father's house. Murdoch recalls,
"Oddly, everyone knew who my father was, but no one quite knew who my mother was. Although there was quite a lot of vivid suggestions. I was just found as a baby on Sebastian Nichols' doorway one night when he came home from one of his sessions in the pub."
His father, Sebastian Jacob Nichols, or Jacob Sebastian Nichols, depending on who's asking, was a notorious booze-hound, a gambler, womanizer, and ne'er-do-well, a man whose collection of dubious vices would put Bill Sykes to shame. He was thought to have squired a number of children in the area, and had spent most of his ragged life avoiding any form of work one way or another. Auspiciously, upon his return from the pub that fateful night, a filthy black raven stood perched upon Murdoch's swaddling, which should have given Sebastian at least some clue as to the alignment of the contents held within. Sebastian shooed away the oily, coughing creature and took this mopped-up bundle inside. One can only imagine the disappointment on his sozzled face when he unwrapped the surprise package.
"Do you know what?"
says Murdoch.
"I think if eBay had been invented at the time, he would have sold me online there and then. As it was, I had to endure years of his booze-sodden, venomous behaviour before he shipped me off to school, which I loathed just as equally. Yeah? I'm often asked why my behaviour is so crooked now. It's a lot clearer, isn't it, you know, when you see what manky loins I sprung from. Man hands on misery to man, you know. Actually, This Be the Verse would have been a killer song. Unfortunately, Philip Larkin never managed to write This Be the Chorus, which is essential for chart success, really. And, of course, it needs to come in within the first 45 seconds, or Radio 1 won't play it.